Right now, time to bring in our good friend Brian Ross and Real News. Brian joins us on Thursday mornings at this time, and we take a look at stories that are floating around, not only that affect us, but affect us locally, nationally, and internationally. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall. First cup of coffee. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, when I got up this morning, today's the day I put the furnace on at the house, Brian, because it was 40. It was 46 outside, and inside my house it was 59, and that's a little too cold to get a shower in the morning. So
that is pretty brisk.
I'm going to break down and put the furnace on beginning today. What the heck? Well, anyways. Let's look at what's going on in Washington or what's not going on in Washington.
It's amazing. You need a scorecard almost to tell what's going on. Everything, four different issues there, raising the debt limit, keeping the government open, and then the two infrastructure bills that are sort of who knows what's going to happen. It all depends mostly, really, on the Democratic Party trying to find a way to come around one issue that would either sink President Biden's agenda or propel it.
Well, Mnuchin has mentioned as he has rejected Nancy Pelosi here, and I just don't see any easy answer to this. And if one thing fails, if his main plan fails and won't go forward, nothing's going to happen. I mean, absolutely nothing is going to happen this session, and that would be just a plain disaster.
Exactly. This may be the last shot the Democrats have, and they know it, because next year the campaign starts for the midterm elections, and no one wants to vote then. It's too close to the elections, they say. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Then there's great concern by the Democrats. They won't hold both houses of Congress after the midterm. So they feel this is the one shot they have. That's certainly what the White House is saying. And this will test the skills of Joe Biden as the great negotiator. He's directly involved, and he canceled trips out to Chicago to stay there and be involved. And by putting his hand on the tiller like this, it will rest on him. It will be a real test of his abilities to do what he pledged he could do during the campaign and bring people together.
All right, it's not a word you use often, but quagmire, I think, will result everything that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, the polls, the polar differences of the two Democratic Party wings, the progressives and the so-called moderates, they call them moderates, but, is Joe Manchin really a moderate?
Nope.
He's more like, he organizes votes as a Democrat, which gives him control of the majority, but in most of his takes, he's more Republican, it seems, than Democrat. And he's a man who has huge interest in oil and gas, makes a lot of money from it every year. And he's pushing back on all the issues that would help clean the climate. And then you've got Sinema out in Arizona, who's raising money from big lobbyists with her positions against an increase in taxes. These are Democrats, I guess, in name only. Like, there are Republicans in name only. These are Democrats in name only. These are dinos.
Well, let's change from there to Germany, because once again it seems having contested and close elections is a thing now that we're all going to live with around the country. The German elections basically produced almost a tie, and it's going to be interesting to see how the tradition of Merkel will continue on when they finally select a new leader.
Right, I think you could have put your finger on a really important point there, and sort of, what we're seeing here, we're seeing around the world, really, and there's a kind of resistance to globalization and a sort of attempt to sort of, hedge a little bit and withdraw a little bit from the world stage, and, that's how people are voting, and that's what you get in democracies. You get the fears and the concerns of people, and they register them at the ballot box.
Interesting stories to follow, and I don't know if many people really hear this story. The U.S. Taliban deal that was put together by the Trump administration and was signed in February 2020. The Joint Chiefs now basically are saying that deal had a quote really pernicious effect end quote on the Afghan government, and probably led up to what exactly happened with the government and army collapsing in days instead of months. And also, they mentioned the corruption that was in the government and in the army as well.
the corruption is long understood, and no one really seems to have been alarmed by that, except for the one man who's sort of the inspector general for the reconstruction in Afghanistan, Mr. Sopko, John Sopko, repeatedly issued warnings. I've interviewed him several times. I've known him for years. He's been warning about this, the corruption, the money was being wasted. People just ignored what he had to say. And then, of course, the other point that the generals made was that the Trump deal with the Taliban, that doomed that government. You know, they released some 5,000 fighters, and they were on their way. And that set the stage. I think you could still argue that the withdrawal could have been done more efficiently with better oversight. But even so, there are no clean hands in this.
No, well, and I don't think anybody is going to sit here and say that the way the withdrawal was handled was not a giant mistake. But, you know, people seem to forget when you get yourself into a quagmire like Vietnam, for people that didn't see this coming, because how do you withdraw like this and so quickly without really not looking at all the issues on the tables? And like you said, this is a problem that runs through Democrats, Republicans. I mean, it doesn't matter. When you look at our objective in Afghanistan, it really didn't change much until Joe Biden finally pulled the trigger and ended it. But it just has not been handled well, and we never learned anything from what we did in Vietnam or even Kosovo. I mean, what we did in Kosovo has worked out, even though troops are still there. That's one of the few places that it hasn't ended in complete disaster.
Well, you know, we think we're rebuilding Germany or Japan after World War II. These are much different situations. These are countries that never had any sense of, especially Afghanistan. And Vietnam was a different issue, but these are countries that really did not want us there, and we tried to impose ourselves, tried to be the great, we were going to bring democracy. We brought a military might there that did not hold. We invested, really several trillion dollars in trying to build up a country and a judicial system that would work, and it just wasted, complete, total waste.
And I want to bring up the story just simply because whenever a story comes up like this, I want to bring it up because there are people out there who have no idea what the Holocaust was. Hard as people our age would find that to believe, but there are people that have no idea what the Holocaust was. And a secretary, a woman who's 96 years old, was going to stand trial in northern Germany for complicity in over 11,000 murders. The judge instead issued a warrant for her arrest. Why? Didn't show up. She's even at 96. She disappeared from her nursing home. Listen to this: a half-hour drive to the south. She took a taxi and just left. But the reason I bring this up is, I think every time young people can be reminded about the Holocaust, because not everybody's going to go to the Holocaust Museum, they should be reminded of it.
I couldn't agree more. We should never forget what happened there and what can happen with so-called good people gone bad, led by a maniac. And there are lessons for us about how things can get out of hand very, very quickly. And, what happened there was, such a stain on civilization, and one we still are trying to recover from. And I applaud the efforts of prosecutors to track down those concentration camp commanders and the guards, who looked the other way or were directly involved in the murders of so many people. Those are murders. And, in our country and everywhere else, the murder case is never closed. There is no statute of limitations on murder, nor should there be on the prosecution of the Holocaust enablers and commanders.
It's just important for people to know. You can't learn from history unless you really know your history. And that even, that goes over here to the United States with different parties trying to deal with the way you should look at U.S. history. History is history. It's not made up. History is fact. And each country has to live with its own history.
Absolutely. And you think about history, and I think the people in Washington should think about how they're going to be remembered in history. Right now, I don't think history will be smiling on what's going on in Washington in any way. History will not smile on those who encourage the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. and those who put forward lies about the elections and rigged votes and fraud, you know, those are stains in our democracy. And the history, I don't think, will be kind to those who allowed it or condoned it or looked the other way.
And for people who say, oh, it's un-American to speak like that, folks, every country has its history, and every country has to deal with the remnants of its history and bring forth, and so people can understand how a country develops. It's not un-American, it's not un-German to question your country's history, and I don't know why that's such a big debate. I really don't.
Well, people are set in their ways, and they don't like to rethink. You know, they don't like to think about Christopher Columbus. Maybe he wasn't such a hero. Many others, you know, as those statues have come down in the South of the Confederate leaders, you know, they rallied around those people for too long, and they set the wrong image. And so, you know, we're having a reckoning. That's good.
Yep. Brian, it's always great to speak with you. Have a good week, and we'll see what develops in Washington over the course
And you too, and keep warm, Marshall. We're in for a wonderful winter.
I'm going to stay as warm as I can, Brian. Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find this on our website, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.